اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل. وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده الظاهر بالكرم مجدوه الباسط بالجود يداه الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور فلم أرى مهلا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك أعلم. يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجود علي بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الأسباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الأسباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني. فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا، الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله، الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويذع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين، والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين، الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير، اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك، أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك، اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم، وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، وصل على سبطي الرحمة وسيدي وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة، اللهم صل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمن والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدوس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك، استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله، مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له، أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا، يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به، وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك، حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله، وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق، آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله، وبضر تكشفه، ونصر تعزه، وسلطان حق تظهره، ورحمة منك تجللناها، وعافية منك تلبسناها، رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا سيد الخلق أجمعين حبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقيت الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. صلى على محمد. One of the things that is relevant to Laylatul Qadr, and we are on the verge of experiencing the actual Laylatul Qadr in a sense, the most important Laylatul Qadr in another sense, the night of the 23rd. It's helpful, I think, to look at this concept, look at a teaching in Islam regarding this relevant matter to Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is obviously related to the concept of taqdir. That's what Qadr means. The translation that translates Laylatul Qadr to the night of power is, I don't know where it came from, it's very meaningless. Qadr means taqdir or fate. Okay. That's one of the equivalents, that is. Destiny, fate. More accurately, the idea of taqdir, because there's two words that are used in regards to this concept in the works of our scholars. There's a slight difference between the terms. One is taqdir and the other is qadha. Qadha and qadar are used together. The qadha part can be, in a sense, identified as destiny or fate. In another sense, in another way of usage, it could be the taqdir or the qadar that would be identified as destiny. Pretty much, taqdir refers to the idea of what will happen in the future to have been predetermined. Not just pre-known by Allah, but predetermined. The word comes, the root of the word is, it means measurement, to measure something. So before something comes to be, it has already been measured in terms of time when it will happen, in terms of the amount or the quantity, for instance, rain. When will it rain? How much will it rain in this particular spot? And how much will it rain in a location that is very near? In the Battle of Badr, one of the things that God tells us in the Quran is that He sent clouds in the area of Badr, in that region where they were going to have the battle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those clouds rain. But the amount that He sent on the side of the believers was just enough so that the dust beneath their feet does not start to get in their throats when they walk and run and engage in battle. And that's a very pleasant state for that soil and sand in the desert, which it's loaded with it. When you start stomping and running and the horses run, it creates a lot of dust and it's hard to breathe and it's hard to see. It was just enough to get rid of that on their side. And just, I don't know how many hundreds of feet, but not too much. The distance isn't like a few miles. Where the kuffar were, the amount that was sent was enough to make it muddy, which it makes it difficult for people and for horses to move about. For the believers, it helps even in that case. For them, they're not going to create dust, so they can clearly see their enemy. But in terms of maneuvering, it makes it more difficult for them to maneuver.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has measured out exactly when that rain is going to come for and how much exactly, on which side, at the same time pretty much. It's already predetermined. It's measured out.
وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ وَلَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ.
A leaf doesn't fall except that it's in God's book. It's important for us to understand it if we are to be of those that will benefit. There's a lot of in-depth discussion regarding this topic that is very hard to even, it's wrong to refer to other books of ulama, great ulama have written things, but my point is your foundations should be built with the verses of the Quran. They are the most accurate on this very difficult topic. Anything else that you read, always bring it back to the Qur'an. If it matches what the Qur'an says, alhamdulillah. If it doesn't, then there's something off there, and we're going to... When we say things are measured, and they are predetermined, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. Whatever you experience, it's already in this, and we understand it, a problem arises. And that problem is, then what are we supposed to, then how can this be true? We have trouble putting those two ideas together. Choice, our actions do have an impact on our fate and what we will, where we will end up and what will happen to us. And when we comfort ourselves, I think I can use the words smear, the idea of taqdeer and tawheed, which is really, taqdeer means God has determined it. So it's one of the aspects of tawheed. God is in charge. He makes things happen. No one else. Good. There's something called Laylatul Qadr where everything, the fate of the following year is determined. But that's also... And then we're told that, okay, if you miss Laylatul Qadr, then you have the day of Arafah, which we do have hadith that says that. And so, so it's relevant to what I do. That I don't really understand. It's important to understand it and accept it as is. And as is, very simple. We have trouble and we don't like to accept it. And that is a no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measures everything and everything happens based on His will. That's very simple, very basic, very clear. The verses of the Quran are very clear about this. In so many different ways, this idea has been presented. Okay, so I'm not going to be changing that idea to make anything make sense. What we need to do is try to understand what it means for us to be involved in our own destiny. Because that's also found in the Qur'an, right? The Qur'an says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا at the mercy of بِمَا كَسَبَتْ what they have earned, what they have obtained. Or إِنَّ لِلْإِنسَانِ مَا سَعَى for a person is what they put their efforts in, whatever they do, their actions, their own deeds. In أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها. If you do good, it's for your good, and if you do bad, it's going to hurt you. How does this make sense in the context of taqdeer? If God predetermines everything and is already pre-measured, then how does this work? The answer is, that's part of taqdeer. God doesn't tell us what His taqdeer is. He knows what His taqdeer is. In fact, He doesn't allow His angels even to know what the people who actually have knowledge of exactly what will happen are only a few. It seems, I don't know if anyone other than the 14 Ma'sumin knows. I'm including all angels. It isn't clear anyone but them know, and regarding the Ahlul Bayt, it's not very clear, at least to myself at this point, how much of that they're given. It's if the understanding that has been given by some of our scholars, like Allama Tabatabai, and it seems to make sense in the verses of the Holy Quran, that Kitabun Mubin or Imamun Mubin is in a sense the higher aspect of the existence of the Ahlul Bayt, then that means that they have access to all of it. But how is that connected to the material aspect of the existence of the Ahlul Bayt? What is that connection? What does that even mean? Those are areas that are not very well known to us. The point is, we don't know that taqdeer. We don't know that measurement. The measurement that God has, the taqdeer that God has in regards to very loyal doesn't have cognition. If lifeless matter does not have cognition, does not understand, does not have knowledge, then decisions that are made by it are not actually decisions. Decisions are when a being understands options and makes decisions. Those are called decisions. That's willpower. Based on our understanding, doesn't seem like lifeless matter has any type of understanding or cognition, and therefore there's no choice, there's no decision-making process. The taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that these molecules are going to go through whatever they go through. You see the formation of an atom, the subatomic particles, the way they come together, the way they change, when they change, the motion of the universe, as God tells us in the Holy Quran, examples of the sun, this huge body of matter, when it came to be, when it will die out, just like they say these dead stars or black holes or whatever. That motion, the sun is moving, the planets in this solar system are moving, orbiting the sun. That whole movement, which is all measured out, the measurement of it doesn't involve, or the manifestation of that, the occurrence of it, just like in the taqdeer of it, did not involve the choice of that being, as far as we understand, of course, because we're entering a terrain that we don't really understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Fussilat, I believe it is, that we said to the heavens and the earth, Atayna, I can't remember the exact Arabic word there. We told them to come. Whether you want to obey or obediently or disobediently or with a dislike, in other words, whether you like it or not, you have to come. They respond, the heavens and the earth respond according to that verse, Atayna ta'i'in, we are coming willingly and we are obeying your command and coming. You will it or not, you're going to come. They respond, Atayna ta'i'in, we're coming willingly and obediently. So based on our understanding, we say they don't have will. What the reality of the situation is, it's hard for us to comprehend that. When it comes to the human being, the human being's taqdeer is with his or her willpower. It involves the understanding of that person, understanding the choices they have. It involves the different tendencies, the different inclinations, the different drives, the different desires that a person has, how much of those each person has, at what time which one manifests, and in the end what decision they make. That whole thing is part of the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of the taqdeer of Allah. He's measured it all out. Part of that is the understanding part. We understand certain things. We understand our choices. We have an option on the night of the 21st, on the night of the 19th, on the night of the 23rd, to speak to God, to ask Him for things that we understand, or to ask Him to give us things that is beyond our comprehension. That itself is an understanding. Realizing that my comprehension is limited, my cognition is limited, and there are things beyond it. And so I, with that understanding, will make the choice of asking God to give me beyond my comprehension. Well, these are all choices that a person may or may not understand. Understanding it, those who understand it, then will they participate in such worship? Were they not? There's an understanding element there. All the ahadith, verses of the Holy Quran that guide us, this idea of guiding, guide us to take part in these worships, to be involved and engage in this worship, and telling us the result, if you take part, these will be the results. All of that is part of making that taqdeer happen. And so you come to know, you know, next door neighbor doesn't know. How did that happen? God's taqdeer. Out of those who know this, you ended up coming. Some people decided, I don't want to. Some people decided they want to do it by themselves at home. Some people decided that if there's a gathering that would want to participate in that. Others would decide, I don't even want to participate. To make choices. Some people prepare for it. That understanding, that is a very important part of decision making. It's not the only part. Because again, there's people that understand, but then they don't make that choice in the end. They know what the results are. If you make that choice, this will be the outcome. If you make the other choice, that will be the outcome. They know that's the wrong choice, yet they take that, they make that wrong choice. There's other elements within us. The things that we're told about, if you do this, this will be the result, and so on and so forth, is part of the guidance that makes that taqdeer occur. Now, who will actually end up doing that or not? We don't know. God knows. And God has measured it. We don't know, though. Us coming on the night of the 23rd itself is part of the taqdeer. I mean, it's not like that part of what we do is not the taqdeer of Allah, and then suddenly what we do affects God's taqdeer. No, nothing affects God's taqdeer. Everything is a result of God's taqdeer, not the other way around. If you are affected by the verses that describe Laylatul Qadr, by the ahadith that describe Laylatul Qadr, and encourage believers to partake in worships on Laylatul Qadr, if you are affected, it means your taqdeer is to be that good person that will be receiving the effects of that later on. That's your taqdeer. And if while you heard it,
you didn't care, that means your taqdeer is that you're not going to be of those. Maybe you're going to be of those that miss Laylatul Qadr but get back on track on the day of Arafah or another date. So we don't know what God's taqdeer is. We generally know, need to know, need to believe that everything is God's taqdeer. Nothing is outside of that. That's not going to be a reason for me not to participate on Laylatul Qadr or not to do anything because God's already predetermined everything. That teaching is not related to what decisions we make in our day-to-day lives in the month of Ramadan and so on and so forth. That teaching is related to a higher level of tawhidi understanding that itself will elevate our souls if our taqdeer is to get there. But this message needs to be repeated so that those who are to be taking that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them, and inshallah, we hope, we don't know, we beg Him that He makes us of those that we get to that level of tawheed. That's a very, very high level of tawheed. Very difficult to attain as well. The reason why we discuss this is if we smear that topic of taqdeer and tawheed to comfort ourselves regarding our day-to-day lives and our decision-making, we are potentially revealing that we are not of those that will be ascending to those higher levels of tawheed. The only way to ascend is to have that understanding. Even if by the end of it I say, well, I heard all of this, it still doesn't make sense. Keep it at that. It's better than making a sense of it that's not right. If you say, God, I heard this, I read this, I can't put these two together. How is it that you've measured it out while you say, whatever I do is what affects my fate? I can't put those two together. Well, keep it at that and say, okay, I understand. One verse says, everything is measured out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, God is the one that makes everything happen. I understand that. I believe it, although I don't fully understand it. I understand that I don't fully understand. I realize my understanding is deficient. That is the way to deal with it when we haven't fully understood it. Instead of say, well, that doesn't make sense, let me make up a meaning that makes sense to me. Well, that is crippling ourselves. That's causing ourselves not to be able to ascend. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to those higher levels of... If you look at the stories of the Qur'an in regards to prophets, if you pay close attention, you will find that great prophets of God, some of their difficult tests had to do with this. For instance, Prophet Nuh. Prophet Nuh had a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that his ahl will be saved when the flood comes. Prophet Nuh, one way or another, had the understanding, it was evident and clear to him, that his son is his ahl, is part of his ahl. One way or another, there's two different, very different explanations why Allama Tabatabai has one explanation. Most others in the general public have a different understanding. I don't want to get into that. Whatever the cause was, Prophet Nuh considered his son, saw his son as being part of his ahl, one of the members of his ahl, those who are his, I don't want to use the word family. His understanding was that
God said, God notified him. The same way that God notified Nuh of everything else, God told Nuh there is a day of judgment. God told Nuh this behavior that they're involved in is wrong and they're going to go to hell. He gave him all that. In addition to all of the other stuff that were given to Nuh, he was also informed that there will be a flood. And when that flood happens, everyone except for your ahl will be destroyed. Your ahl will be saved. He was told that. Then the day of the flood came. His son, that to him it was clear he's part of his ahl, he didn't get saved. Nuh asks this question from Allah. He says, at least the way I understand it, this is what he's expressing. He's saying, Ya Allah, I'm confused. You told me my ahl will be saved, but my son drowned. How does this work? He's not complaining to God why his son got drowned. That's not the issue here. That's not the issue that Nuh has. Otherwise, Nuh's wife was also drowned. He never said, why did my wife drown? The Quran tells us in Surah Tahrim, there are two examples for bad people, two women, and two women examples for great people. The two women that are examples of bad people are the wife of Lut and the wife of Nuh. She was also of those that were destroyed, but he didn't ask because it was clear to him she's not of his ahl. That's the reason he didn't ask. It wasn't an emotional thing that, oh, you know, he doesn't have emotions towards. No, he said, God, you told me my ahl are going to be saved. He was my ahl. What happened here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him that no, what I said was right about, meaning I was obviously, God is always truthful. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more truthful than God? What I told you that your ahl will be saved is true, and it did happen. The thing is, your understanding that your son was your ahl was not accurate. I think Allama Tabatabai's explanation here is better. It seems like we have to explain that. Generally, people understand that his ahl meant his family, and then his son wasn't saved, so he asked the question. And they say, oh, family means this, that, the other. No, from the beginning, that wasn't the issue. Nuh didn't understand the word ahl to be family. That's why he didn't ask about his wife. That's a very good reason to explain and understand that ahl does not mean family. Otherwise, his spouse should have been part of that. The question wasn't about that. His ahl were people that were with him. Allama Tabatabai says that his son was with him. His son joined him. His son was with him when he preached. He seemed like he was one of the believers. In other words, his son was a munafiq. Apparently, he was on Nuh's side. In actuality, he wasn't. He participated in the prayers. He participated in, I don't know, whatever acts of worship they had. I don't know if fasting was something that God had commanded them to do at that point, because the Quran says, "Kutiba alaykum al-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum." Your predecessors, people, nations before you were also told to fast. But I don't know how far back that goes and how it was and so on. Anyway, whatever act of worship there was, Nuh's son was part of that. He was there. So in his, from his perspective, from his viewpoint, this son of his is not like the Prophet's wife. You know, he's participating for 950 years before the flood. How many of those years the son was there, I don't know, but he was there. You would think, let's say we have, God says, I'll save all the believers. We're all sitting here and we think, okay, we're all believers. And then the adhab comes and then you see that I go with the people who were being punished. Like, God, what happened? I thought this guy used to preach to us. Like, oh, no, you misunderstood. He was talking about all that good stuff, but he didn't do it. And so, no, he's part of the believer. It seemed like he was... The question, we're relating this to the idea of taqdeer, the question Nuh had there is regarding what God told him of the future. That's going to be saved. That's of what time? It's a measurement. It's a taqdeer for the future. He was told of that. Then when it happened, one of those that he saw as his ahl was drowned and he didn't survive. He wasn't saved. So he's asking God about how this works, you measured it, did you mismeasure, did you change this? How does this work? He has a question regarding it. And God says, no, the taqdeer was right. You misunderstood what I said. I said, your ahl, you thought he's your ahl because you judged based on appearance. In actuality, he wasn't your ahl. So the taqdeer was exactly what you were told, and it didn't go through any changes. It's just what was hidden in his heart was revealed at that point, not before then. How does this, what type of a test is this? What type of a question is this? These are things that I don't know if I have an understanding of or if I ever will, but it's clear it's related to taqdeer. This is what we're saying. The concept of taqdeer and accepting it and believing in it and the tests related to it are for people who want to ascend above and beyond. If we want to have hope of at some point getting to that, some level of it, we've got to make sure that we don't dismiss the idea of tawheed and taqdeer as it is clearly mentioned in the Holy Quran, because we have a problem trying to understand that in the context of our will and our decision making in the process of what happens to us. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us with that. I apologize if maybe what I said didn't make any sense to anyone. I hope it did, and I hope it's beneficial. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that He hastens the return of the Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially those who are putting their lives on the line in the various areas of Muslim lands, the believers who are defending the muqaddasat of Islam in Yemen, in Palestine, in Syria, in Iraq, wherever else they're doing that, whoever it is, we may or may not know who they are. Allah protect them, save them, grant them victory. Ya Allah, help our ulama, our maraja, protect them from the waswas of the shaitan, protect our ulama from the shaitan so that we as the lay people who look up to the ulama don't get misled if an alim goes astray. A lot of people go astray. Allah protect them all. Help them guide towards you and your direction, especially our maraja and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all believers and all people worldwide of this pandemic so that our lives can go back to normal, inshallah, sooner rather than later. We ask Allah to grant all believers their hajat, their needs, their requests, especially brothers and sisters here. And we ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiyya wa Alih, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as.